Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. Well, guess what? It's Wednesday night at about 9 o'clock here on the East Coast. And I hope you're having a nice evening wherever you are. We have a new series that's going to start tonight. But that being said, the program's going to be a little shortened because my throat, once again, is not behaving. So we're going to go as far as we can on our new series. Don't ask me how many segments it's going to be because I haven't finished it yet. but it's going to be many. Anyway, so we have a title of superheroes. Yes, superheroes from the Bible. I think it'll be kind of cool. So that being said, we're going to jump into the program and see how far my voice will carry us. I don't really have any announcements per se, other than the one that I have been bugging you about, which is still that my dear friend Jen Phipps is scheduled to go to Africa the second week in March, I believe it is. And she'll be there for 2 weeks at an orphanage with all kinds of kids and babies and teaching them all about God. So we have a commitment to try and get the word out as best as we can that she needs some funding. She needs to pay her way there and back, and we definitely want her to come back home. And so if you go to... do me a favor and go to a site called GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. And just tap on the search bar right there on the page. Tap in the name Jen, J-E-N, Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S. And you'll read her story. I encourage you to take what you would spend normally one day for lunch and donate it for this cause. She's been dreaming of this trip all her life. And so if you do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And here we go. For those of you who aren't familiar with this program, a year ago when we started this dusty trail, I had a person call me and asked me for the scripture reading she had not gotten at all. And so I said, where are you? And she says, I'm in my car. And I said, okay. And so as a result, we came up with this quirky little thing that we started out, as I said, a year ago with one sentence, and everyone has thrown in their additions as the year has gone on, and we call it our little safety warning. And it goes, and all of you who are regulars, you can sing along with me or speak along with me, goes something like this. No, bus drivers, crane operators, truck and or tractor drivers, race car drivers, half-blind golf cart operators, aircraft pilots, train engineers, ships captains, motorcycle drivers, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat should divert their attention from what they are doing to find this passage right now. Wait until it is safe for you to do so, and then go ahead. In the meantime, be assured that I am reading the right scriptures to you for tonight's message. Everyone else listening, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, Androids, and any other smart or dumb device, and follow along with me. Now, tonight's scripture is a little bit long, so hang in there with me. The first part of it is found in the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And the second half of it, in case you want to know, is the same book, Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. Okay, so Matthew chapter 14 tells the story that we all probably have heard at some point in time in Sunday school about Jesus walking on the water. And we'll pick it up right here. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Yeah, very good story. And the second scripture is from the same book, Matthew, as I said, and it's chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples after feeding the 5,000. He said to them, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." So in that scripture story, we get to see how Peter got his name Peter from Simon. So here, two scriptures about the character we're going to start talking about tonight. I doubt if we'll get to finish our story of Simon Peter, but he is probably my, if I had a favorite superhero, it would be Simon Peter, and not because so much of the insight that he had, but Peter, like so many of us, was quite the character in that he would take his foot out of his mouth long enough to put his other foot in. He was forever saying and doing things that he had to ask forgiveness for. But every once in a while, Peter came up with some phenomenal insight, and this is two cases. So let's, excuse me, get on with superheroes, Simon Peter. Just about every kid has a period in their lives where they love superheroes. The kids idolize the superhero's ability to do the impossible. You know, to fly, their incredible strength, their X-ray vision, you know. And lately, superheroes have become popular again. You know, we have some new movies coming out all the time about superheroes, and there for a while was kind of a lull. And sometimes I think that we read the Bible like we would read a comic book or watch our favorite superhero on a big screen. You know, we look at the fantastic things that some of the folks did in the Bible, and we're amazed by them. We might even idolize their lives and their passion for God. You know, but sometimes it's hard to grasp that these were real people who really lived, not just made up stories. These people had real struggles, real problems in life. They didn't have superpowers other than their faith in the God of superpowers. You know, they were super people with super character for sure, but they didn't have anything that you and I don't have today. You know, they are examples for us, and I believe that's why these stories are in the Bible. Not so much that we should idolize them, but that we should see them as everyday Jonah, everyday Abraham, whatever, whomever, who overcome adversity because of their faith. You know, when I read about people like Abraham and Moses, David, and Paul, I envy some of the things about them, especially that direct connection they seem to have with God. You know, I tease a lot about the God phone. And how sometimes sermons come to me in the middle of the night. But these people truly did have a God phone. They had that relationship, that constant communication. And if there is anything I would envy, it definitely would be that these weak and imperfect individuals could do these things. So as you read about these key people in the Bible, we can see that many of them differ in personality. I mean, you know, you compare Lot to David to whomever, they're all of different personality, but they have one common thread. They had a strong faith. They trusted God when it didn't even make sense, when it wasn't popular, and when things weren't going their way. They are legends that we talk about thousands of years later because of the kind of faith they had. And think about it. You know, I hope today when we read through the Bible that we think, you know, what kind of person do I really want to be? You know, is this the type of faith that I would like to have? You know, the faith of David going up against Goliath with nothing but some stones and a sling. You know, the reality is we all can have that kind of faith. Jesus promised that we would all be able to have faith that could move mountains. We can have that type of relationship with God today. You know, we are way too easily satisfied with mediocrity in our faith. We're satisfied with being what I call a casual Christian. You know, we're satisfied with our lack of commitment or excitement or zeal. And we're sometimes content to be uninvolved or lukewarm. You know, I hope today that you want more than lukewarm. Today, you know, I hope you're not just content where you are in your faith, that you want to be challenged, you know, that you want to be like some of these incredible people in the Bible and have the faith that can do it and move forward 2,000 years. Incredible faith, like Martin Luther King, you know, faith against all odds. You know, one of my favorite characters, as I said, is the Apostle Peter. You know, he's a man who is full of zeal for the Lord. There's no doubt about it. When Jesus was on the mountain and was transfigured with Moses and Elijah, it was Peter who wanted to stay and build shelters for the three of them. You know, when Jesus told Peter he was going to be killed, it was Peter who said, I'd die first, then to let them kill you. You know, it was his unwavering faith that kept Peter so close to Jesus. And it was Peter who drew his sword and cut off the ear of, excuse me, my voice is giving out, has cut off the ear of the servant who came to get Jesus to betray him. It was Peter who ran to the empty tomb when the women came back to say that Jesus had risen. And it was Peter, of course, that left the boat and came to Jesus. Yeah. You know, you can't fault him. His bumbling and as many mistakes as he made, you can't fault him for being the incredible person to see what no one else saw at that time, that you are the Son of the Most High God. You know, Peter was always zealous to be with Jesus. Like I said, his greatest desire was to learn, to be there, to be at his feet. You know, and in this account of Jesus walking on the water, we see the whole disciples are in this boat, you know, all 12 of them, and they're out to sea, and they're in this awful storm. You know, the boat's just getting battered, and these are all experienced fishermen, or most of them are. They know that they're in harm's way. They realize that the boats are going down. And so here we are in this terrible situation. And we learn that Jesus walks out on the water towards them. And it's Peter who speaks up and says, if you tell me to, I'll come out on the water with you. You know, he just wanted to get to Jesus. He just wanted to see Jesus so badly that the waves didn't deter him from getting out of the boat. What happened was when the wind started blowing, he became scared. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, that was it. Not too much different today. We have winds and storms that pound us from every side. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we go down. We forget what strength and courage can come from the Redeemer. You know, Peter wanted to get to Jesus because he knew that Jesus alone could calm the storms of life. You know, just like he knew that the waves of that sea would be calmed when he got to Jesus. So it is with our lives and the storms that we face. You know, life can be pretty hectic and chaotic. And there's no solution to life's problems other than to go through them. You know, there's a person who can calm the storms and, you know, keep them from beating you up. But even so, you know, we have to walk through them. And the best way is to keep our eyes on the prize. You know what is strange about us? We like to handle our problems our own way. That doesn't matter whether the boat's going down. That doesn't matter that we've been bailing for hours and getting nowhere. Days, weeks, months, years, whatever. You know, we think we can fix all things going wrong in our lives. And I think to some degree, that's our ingrained thing from tiny tot, you know, be strong, be tough, fix it yourself. And especially with the age of computers and all this information, you know, we should be able to bear our burdens and frustrations and sorrows. There is one who wants to make our life easier if only we would come to him. Yeah. We talk about this from time to time, and I can't say it enough. Sometimes it takes us to realize that our boat has holes in it. And you know what? Left on the water too long is going to sink. And so you either plug the holes and bail out the water, or you find a way to fix it. And fix it for me is to hand it over to God. You know, I'm sinking. Also, Peter knew that Jesus was in control of his existence. And I've had a lot of people who say, you know, at the point in time that I was baptized, or, you know, I turned my life over, or we'll even simplify that down to, I turned this situation over, it was like lifting a 10-pound weight off my shoulders. And, you know, part of that is you have to experience bad before you know good. You have to experience being without the light so that when the light comes to your life, you see it. You have to be heavy with burden so that you know what it's like to be lightened, you know, when you sit at the feet of Jesus. Peter knew that. He ate up every opportunity he could be to be at the feet of Jesus. He loved things like when Jesus picked him up to go to the mountain to see Moses and Elijah. You know, and if Peter could, he would have monopolized Jesus' time 100%. He was that much committed, you know, and that's why he was so taken back when Jesus said that he would betray him of all disciples, you know. You know, he didn't want those moments to end. He didn't want Jesus to move on. And he knew without being told that Jesus was Emmanuel, you know, God with us. He knew that nothing could come without Jesus allowing it. And so when I say he had control over his existence, he was well aware. When he stepped out of that boat, he could have died, but he also was aware that staying in the boat would probably be fatal too. And he had that faith, the faith that, you know, sees through any logic as we know it and passes through to the other side. You know, by the time Jesus' ministry was over and he had been risen from the dead, it was plain to Peter that Jesus was Lord over all the sea, Lord over the sick and the diseased, Lord over demons, you name it. And he knew that he had a special part of his life spent in the 3 years that he walked with Jesus. And he spent the rest of his life testifying to that. And so I'm fading fast. I'm sure you can hear that. We're going to keep going here for a few more minutes. But know that I'm not going to have a voice too much longer. And some of you would say, yay! So, you know, the third thing that Peter knew that Jesus could do for him is save his soul. No tax collectors, no temple priests could do that, and he knew it. You know, he was ridiculed, actually, by some for stepping out of the boat, saying that he was tempting Jesus. But I believe Peter showed more faith than the other 11 that stayed in the boat. Because when Peter stepped out, as I said, he could have, sank and died. What happens if that wasn't really Jesus? It really was an apparition or the adversary. But when he cried out, "Lord, save me," those three words, all was well. It's the same three words that we usually cry out in our desperate times. And his faith didn't change just because he was sinking. He had that same faith when he walked out of the boat. He knew that was Jesus, and he asked him to save him. In faith, he knew that. So, Peter, we're going to finish him up next week, but, right after this miracle of Jesus and Peter on the water, Jesus, teaches the large crowds about the bread of life and all that stuff. And that's when we'll talk about this question that Jesus poses to the disciples about, "Who do you think I am?" And some of us read that and say, "Well, geez, you're Jesus. You should know what they're thinking." And he did. But he wanted to hear them verbalize it. And it was interesting because of all 11 disciples, it was Peter. Some piped up and said, some people say you're, Elijah. Some people say you're this person, that person. But it was Peter that said, "Nope, I know exactly who you are." So I'm going to say, if you picked up on the scripture readings at the beginning of the program, that you take a look through them, it's Matthew and Matthew, actually, since the stories of Peter are in there, Matthew 14, 22 through 33, and Matthew 16, 15 through 18. And think about this week who you might choose. And it doesn't have to be a New Testament person. It could be somebody from the Old Testament. Who you would think would be your favorite superhero, from the Bible. And we will hopefully meet you back next week with a voice that is working properly. Until then, grace and peace, and know that you are loved. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.